All right. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we're going to be reading there in just a moment, but we want to welcome those that have joined us for the radio broadcast. We thank you for doing so. And this broadcast is a ministry of Grace Bible Church. We're located here in Chattanooga at 3827 Hickson Pike. And we would love to have you come visit with us. We are a Bible church, and that's what our emphasis is on, is studying the Bible. And not only studying the Bible, but studying the Bible rightly divided, as we're instructed to do by our apostle, the Apostle Paul. As a matter of fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We teach the Bible at Grace Bible Church from a dispensational point of view. That is, that we divide the Scriptures. Now, everybody does. Everybody divides the Bible somewhere. Most divide it simply between the Old and New Testament. But your Bible is laid out in a perfect manner so that you can understand the part of your Bible that is written directly to you. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's all profitable. And it's all for us to read and understand and study. But there's a certain portion of Scripture that's written directly to us, and that is Romans through Philemon. So if you open your Bible to the New Testament, the first four books you're going to find are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those books tell us about the life of Jesus Christ, not only His life, but His death, burial, and resurrection. And then we read the book of Acts. The book of Acts in the beginning talks about the 12 fulfilling the ministry they were given by the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter, James, John, and the other disciples are carrying out exactly what Christ told them to do. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen is stoned to death for preaching to them that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And at his death, there's a man standing there holding the coats of those who stoned him. His name is Saul. Later, his name is changed to Paul. And in Acts chapter 9, Paul is saved. And from there forward in the book of Acts, almost all of the book of Acts is about the ministry of this new convert, the Apostle Paul. And then, at the end of Acts, the next 13 books in your Bible are the writings of Paul, Romans through Philemon. Then you have the Hebrew epistles, Hebrews through Revelation. Now, I do not believe for a moment that any of that is an accident. I believe the Bible is purposely laid out like that because that is exactly how we are to study it. And in Paul's writings, Romans through Philemon, we find many truths there that we don't find outside of those chapters. Hebrews through Revelation, Hebrews starts back talking about the Hebrew people and the new covenant that God made with them. And then you have writings by James and Peter and John and Jude and the book of Revelation that are about the nation Israel and the end times. So we rightly divide the word of truth. Now, why is this important? Why is it significant? Well, number one, Paul makes it clear in the book of Romans that he is the apostle of the Gentiles. In Romans chapter 11, Romans 11, in verse 13, Paul said, "I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." Now, why is that significant? Well, back in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus Christ sent forth the 12 disciples. And it's interesting that when he sent them forth, he tells them in Matthew chapter 10, he says there, "These 12, Jesus Christ commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." You know, there's a lot of people that don't even know those verses are in the Bible. They believe that when Jesus Christ sent the 12 out, he sent them to all the world, but he did not. He told them to go not to the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as he said, go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So it's very significant that Paul would say that he is the apostle of the Gentiles. Now, you've got the 12, and they are taught by Jesus Christ, and they're taught exactly what to preach. So if you get over to Acts chapter 3, look there if you will. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible there where you are, jot these verses down. Go back and look at them because they're very important. You see a great contrast in Acts 3 and Romans 16. Peter, speaking in Acts chapter 3, says there in verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Now notice the next verse. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So Peter makes it clear that what he is teaching and what he is preaching is according to prophecy. What does that mean? That means it was prophesied in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ coming, Jesus Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection was all a part of prophecy. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So Peter is preaching that which is according to the prophetic books in your Bible. But notice what Paul says. Something completely different from that. In Romans chapter 16, in verse 24, as Paul concludes this first letter in the order of his epistles to the church at Rome, he says there in verse 24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is the power to establish you, and now he's going to list three ways in which you're established. He says, number one, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Did you notice that? Peter said that which he was preaching had been known by prophecy since the world began. Paul said he was preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Now those are completely different, and they're not the same. And when Peter is preaching in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, along with the 12, he's preaching what he was taught to preach. If you look back in Luke chapter 24, Jesus Christ is instructing the 12 on preaching, and in addition to Matthew 28 and Mark 16, what we call the Great Commission, Jesus Christ instructs the 12 in Luke 24. Notice what he says there. In Luke 24, verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter in his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have them gone further. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. If you look back up in verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us, notice, the scriptures. So again, everything that was taught there was according to the scriptures. It was according to prophecy. When he gets over to the end of the verse, notice in verse 46, he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Now notice, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. What did he say was going to be preached? Repentance and remission of sins. Well, if you turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that's exactly what you find that Peter preached. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the message does not change. Now, I want you to consider something. In Matthew 19, a man came to Christ and said, good master, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus Christ said, keep the commandments. The man said, I've kept the commandments from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus Christ said, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor. And the Bible says the man went away sorrowful. In Acts 2, Peter is preaching a murder indictment to the nation Israel. And as he preaches that indictment, they ask him, what shall we do? There in Acts 2, verse 36, he said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto him, said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What did he tell them to do? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Now, Paul, in Acts chapter 16, was asked by the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? Interestingly enough, Paul's response was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Notice why. In Acts chapter 20, Paul says, there in verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Listen, folks, there's a very important reason why we should rightly divide the word of truth. There's a reason why you ought to go to a church that rightly divides the word of truth. Because a large majority of the religious system today is still preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Repent, be baptized, confess your sins. Paul said his ministry was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. What is that gospel? Well, we read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now that is the gospel. And Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Jesus Christ told the 12 in Matthew 24, he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. That gospel of the kingdom is the same thing Christ preached in Matthew 4. Same thing Christ preached in Matthew 9, the same thing he commissioned the 12 to preach in Matthew 10, and the same thing that Peter preached in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. It is the gospel of the kingdom. Paul, when he was saved in Acts 9, says in Romans 16 that what he preached was he was preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And that is that Christ died for our sins. No longer today is salvation limited to the Jewish nation. And no longer does salvation come through the Jewish nation. John chapter 4 says, that salvation is of the Jew. Today, salvation is by believing the gospel of Christ. And if you have never been saved, maybe you joined the church, you walked the aisle, you got baptized. That's not salvation. Now, you might have done all those things after being saved, but if you're trusting in any of that for salvation, then you've never been saved. Salvation is trusting in what Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul talks about us being complete in Christ. I want you to notice what he says happened there at the cross. In Colossians chapter 2, in verse 13, Paul said, "And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Listen, folks, I've got some really good news for you today. There's not anything you can do. You don't have to get up and go anywhere, say anything, or do anything to be saved. All you have to do is trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, because today the door of salvation has been opened to all men. Notice what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, he says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now notice the next passage. "Wherefore remember that ye," these Gentiles, these Ephesians, "ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time," what time? Time past. "That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." Now, if you ever had any doubt about salvation coming through the nation Israel, that verse ought to dispel it. There was a time when if you were not allied with Israel or willing to bless Israel, you were outside the covenants of promise. You were without hope and without God in the world. But notice the next verse. The first two words, two of the most glorious words you'll ever read in the King James Bible, Paul says, "But now." But now, in this present dispensation, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh. How? By the blood of Christ. You see, the Bible says that God's will is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It also says that Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, gave himself a ransom for all, not many, not some. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And Paul was that due time testifier. Why do we rightly divide the word of truth? Because it is the only way that you can accurately show people how to be saved in this dispensation of the grace of God we are living. Look over in chapter 3 and verse 1. Ephesians 3, verse 1. Paul says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery." Remember, he said he was preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. "The mystery, as I wrote in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Now here's that mystery. "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Not by water baptism, not by doing good works, Not by joining the church, not by repentance, but by the gospel. That gospel that I mentioned a moment ago, how that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he was raised again the third day. And the Bible says he was raised for our justification. You see, Paul was chosen to be the apostle of the Gentiles. He said in Romans chapter 15 that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made to Israel. And that's exactly what Peter was. You see, one of the great basic truths of rightly dividing the word is that Peter and Paul did not preach the same gospel. We just read the differences. Peter said, repent and be baptized. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Paul was chosen as the apostle of the Gentiles. Peter was a minister to the circumcision. According to Galatians chapter 2, Peter and Paul shook hands and agreed that one would be preach the gospel of the circumcision, the other the gospel of the uncircumcision. And that is exactly what they did. Paul's preaching was according to the revelation of the mystery, as we read in Romans chapter 16. Peter's preaching was according to prophecy, Acts 3, verse 18. Paul preached the gospel of the grace of God, Acts chapter 20, 1 Corinthians 15. Peter preached the gospel of the kingdom, as it's recorded in Matthew 24, Luke 24, Acts 2, Acts 10, and so forth. As a matter of fact, I want you to compare two verses that are dramatic in difference. Look in Titus chapter 3 and get also Acts chapter 10. In Acts 10, Peter goes down to the house of Cornelius. And there, keep in mind that Paul said, we're in one body, how? By the gospel. What is that gospel? He didn't say by a gospel, he said the gospel. It's the gospel I've already quoted here. Christ died for our sins, according to Scriptures. Was buried, rose again the third day, according to Scriptures. When Peter preaches to Cornelius, he says in verse 35, but in every look in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. So Peter makes it very clear that he's not preaching anything new. He's going all the way back to John the Baptist, Matthew 3, and preaching what he preached. And he said that his understanding is, in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Now notice the contrast with the Apostle Paul in Titus chapter 3 in verse 5. Paul says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see, folks, the significance and importance of the gospel is, if you don't get that right, nothing else matters. I mean, it doesn't make really any difference what you believe about this Bible if you don't have the gospel straight. If you're trusting in your works, if you're trusting in water baptism, if you're trusting in the fact that you joined the church as a child, like I did at 12 years old, and walked down the aisle and filled out the little card and got baptized. And I believed for years that was salvation. And then I saw the truth of the gospel and realized I had never really trusted in what Christ did. I had just been told what to do. Maybe that's you. But the point is that there is not one work of righteousness which you can do. As a matter of fact, in this very passage, Titus 3, notice what Paul says in verse 2. To speak evil of no man, be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also sometimes were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. You see, folks, living in the dispensation of the grace of God is living in a period of time. Living during a time. And I know people say, well, the dispensation is not a time period. It covers a time period. And it is a day. You're living in a day of God's grace. You're living in a day of God's mercy. And the same grace and the same mercy that God has bestowed upon this world by His Son dying at Calvary is the same grace and the same mercy that we ought to bestow upon one another. We are never to condemn people for what they do in their flesh, for the problems they have in their life, because God doesn't condemn them. He's forgiven them all trespasses. And Paul, the Bible says that we are accepted in the blood. And if Jesus Christ accepts men on the basis of who they are in Christ, then certainly every saint of God ought to accept people on the basis of who they are in Jesus Christ. And not look at the flesh, but look at who they are in Christ, what God has made us in Christ. He has made unto us righteousness and wisdom and sanctification and all those other things. And we have all of that for one reason and one reason alone. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And He was willing to go there and hang on a cross. And people spit upon Him. And they put a crown of thorns on His head. And they nailed spikes in His hand. And they nailed spikes in His feet. And at the end of all of it, He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I want to say to you this morning that God did to His Son what He will never do to you. If you're saved, the Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of God? What shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing. He says, there's not one thing in this world that can separate you from the love of God and His mercy and His grace. So I ask you today, if you've never received that free gift of salvation, why don't you receive it right now and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? It'll be the greatest day of your life. And as I said, you don't have to get up and go anywhere, do anything, say anything, or even pray anything. Just receive that gift of salvation. As we sign off the radio here today, Brother Trey will give you information about how you can contact us, and we would love to hear from you, and we would be glad to have you visit us at Grace Bible Church, 3827 Hickson Pike in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us.